Y'all doing good tonight. I can see that. You're all beaming. I know you're all happy now because we're over the hump, right? Yesterday was the shortest day of the year, right? Absolutely. So shouting hallelujah, right? Longer days are here. And we're going to continue our study today on I Love Your Ways. This is part eight. And I'm just really enjoying doing this because it's given me an opportunity. I've never done a series like this before. And it's just given me an opportunity in a very fresh way to look at a different angle on who God is. What's God's nature? How does he go about stuff? And so it's been a really, I'm enjoying it. You must be enjoying it too. I mean, you keep coming back, right? So that's good. And tonight we're going to be looking at his way of generous love. You know, you can't go far into a series on God's nature and his ways and not deal with this, probably the most recognizable and the most most often mentioned character of God, his love. I mean, that's why you're here tonight, right? Because of God's love. So the question I'm going to start and end with tonight is, do you know the loving, generous God? Do you know the loving, generous God? Our theme verse for this whole series, Exodus 33:13, together and aloud, everybody read together with me. Now therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. And of course, we say again and again, this is Moses when he first became aware that there was this God, and he's saying to him, hey, I want to know you, so help me know your ways. If you want to know God, you have to know his ways. Now, we're going to jump right into this. Let's read together Proverbs 19:6, together and aloud. Many will seek the favor of a generous man, and every man is a friend to him who gives gifts. Anybody notice that I do a lot of Proverbs? You've noticed that? You know, I'm a Proverbs guy, right? I always say you got to read Proverbs, you know? And I know some of them you're reading, they're like, oh, this is stupid. I don't, you know. But then you keep reading, and there's a gem. Right, and it changes your life. But no, I'm a big fan of Proverbs. I believe that Jesus, Paul, Peter, anywhere in the New Testament, they all quoted the Proverbs. Maybe they rephrased it, but you'll find Proverbs throughout the entire Bible. And what I want to say with this particular verse is this. You know, it says, many seek the favor of a generous man, and every man is a friend to him who gives gifts. And we're going to see through and throughout Scripture that every good gift that you have, every good thing in your life, is a gift from God. And the reason that you love God, if you love God, if you know God and you know his ways, the reason that you know him is because everybody loves a giver. Everybody loves somebody that's generous. In your flyer, you got some discussion questions in there. You ever notice that? I put discussion questions in there. A couple of weeks from now, I think Ted's going to start a small group to go over those questions. But one of the things that I put in there is, if you're in a small group, think about somebody who's been generous in your life, and how do you feel about them? And then think about somebody who's stingy in your life, and what are your feelings towards them, right? Because I'm pretty sure that when you think about the generous person in your life, you're like, oh, man, they're really cool. And the stingy person, you're like, I hope I don't see them anytime soon, or especially over Christmas, you know? What's that? Hope they don't draw my name in the office party. I'll get a stick of gum that's been chewed already, right? Or a used tea bag or something. Yeah. You know, and I had to laugh when I'm reading this and making this mess, because Grammy's here. Belva is Nancy's mom over there. Hi, Belva. And that's Nancy sitting beside her, and Mary Ellen, of course. But Belva lives in an apartment attached to our house. And so her mail comes to our mailbox, right? And I usually get the mail, right? And I'll bring in a stack of mail like this, right? And maybe like this, right? And I'll go through it, and 90% of it is Belva Green, right? And 99.9% of that is what? We call it junk mail, but it's all these good things that she has given to and contributed to, And it's like, you know, and I'm going through, and I throw it in the garbage can for her, because if she gets it, she's, you know, but I throw it in the garbage, most of my, not all of them, Mom, but a lot of them I throw in the garbage can, you know, and I'm like, man, this is, this, I think I know every charitable group in the world here, you know, and the reason that they seek out Belleville is because of this verse: many will seek the favor of a generous person, right? Once you give, and they know you're a giver, hey, they're going to come after you, because they're going to seek your favor, right? That's just the way that we are. And that's the same way, and we're going to see from this message, God is a giver. In his very essence, he's a giver, and that's why we respond to him. That's why we love him. That's what we love about him. This next verse, I hesitated even putting it up there, but I did. So let's read it together. The poor is hated even by his neighbor, but those who love the rich are many. You know, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but the thing is, you have to understand, the Bible does not say that poverty is a virtue, right? In fact, if we went through the Bible and you read the Proverbs, you'll find out that God wants us to be blessed. He wants us to prosper. Why? So that we can be a blessing and prosper and be generous to others. That's why he wants us to be blessed, so that we can be a blessing, right? And so, you know, being poor is not a virtue, right? And I mean, I've been poor. I was raised poor, right? Most of us at some point have been poor. The question is, do you justify it? Do you explain it away? Do you blame everybody else? Or do you read the scriptures, believe the scriptures, and let God work in your life so that that doesn't become the last sentence or the last chapter in your book? Amen? Amen. All right. Junk mail. All right. So God is a lover, and here's the thing. Lovers are givers. Don't fool yourself. Oh, I'm a big lover, but I don't give. No. And I understand that, you know, the book, The Seven Languages of Love, and there are some people for whom, apparently it's 1/7 of the population, I don't know, but, you know, there are some people for whom giving is the way that they express love, and it comes very naturally to them. I mean, I'm not one of those people, right? I express my love in other ways. But that doesn't make me a bad person, right? But the fact of the matter is that 6/7 of the population is not, this is not going to come naturally to. We're going to have to work at this and let God's word have its effect in us, so that we can change and let his nature kind of flow into us through that osmosis, and then it can come back out through us. But let's read John 3:16 together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The gospel, the reason that we're here, everything flows from the foundation of God's love, and his love could not just stop at him saying, yeah, I love you. His love, because he loved, because it's real love, translated into what? Giving. Giving, in fact, giving the thing that was most precious to him, his only begotten Son. Let's read what Jesus said together and aloud. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Okay, I'm establishing here that God's way is that of being loving and generous. Right? God is a giving God. It's his very nature. It's his essence to be a giver. Let's read on. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. I love the fact that Hebrews is very clear here. No, he's not sometimes generous and sometimes stingy. He's not shifting around. Well, today I'm going to be stingy, but tomorrow I'm going to be generous. Or like, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Oh, I'm going to be good to you, but you, no, not so much. He's not that way. He's not a shifting shadow. He's not varying. You know, he is every good thing that anybody has come to them because of a good, benevolent God. Jesus said that God the Father causes the rain and the sun to shine on both the just and the unjust alike. Every good thing, life itself, has come because God's nature is loving and giving. I know I'm preaching to the choir here. This is not new stuff, right? This is not new. You know this, but we all need to hear it over and over again. Okay, so here's the thing. Let's read together 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. See, our last verse was, yeah, everybody's got the rain, everybody's got the sun, everybody's got 24 hours a day, everybody's got the same, God's good to everybody. So, in a universal way, God is good. But this scripture breaks it down in front of us and says, no, you, Lisa, have been given a special gift. You, Mary, crazy chicken lady, you've been given a special gift. Right? You, Bruce, you know, go around. You have been given a special gift by God. Therefore, what? Use it to serve one another as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. See, we are givers to the degree that we realize that all that we have, whatever it is, has been given to us. And if it's been given to us, Paul argues in 2 Corinthians 9, if it's been given to you, then who are you to say it's mine? And who are you to say, well, there's no more to come from there? No, if it's been given to you and God's the source, there is more to come. There's no lack in God. You don't have to fret, oh, now if I give this away, I'm not going to get any more. Oh, I won't have enough for myself. If he gave it away, if he gave it to you and you gave it away, well, what's he saying? Well, it's just going to come right back in. It's like a vacuum. Like, out it goes, and it comes. That's how it works. That's how God is. That's how he set it up. Another great scripture in 1 Peter 3. I just say, well, I don't know. I don't have too much to give. Well, I can tell you one thing you have to give. We talked about it last week. What's that? What did we talk about last week? Words. Words. And we think, oh, they're a penny change. They're not worth anything. Let's throw them away. Right? And we saw how words used strategically and purposefully, like compounded interest, builds your life over a period of years to the effect of what you have is the compounded result of the words of your life. And I talked a whole lot about how important it is so you use those words constructively in building up the people in your life so that you have a good life. Because if you use your words to destroy the people around you, guess what? You're going to have a bad life. You're going to be miserable because you're making the people around you miserable. And why would you do that? I don't know. Why do people shoot themselves in the foot? They do it all the time. Why? It's not smart, but anyway, we can use our tongue, we can use our words to give. And we saw last week, what comes out of our mouth comes from where? What's in our heart. Remember that big picture of the iceberg and the big thing underneath is our heart, and up top was our words? Let's read together 1 Peter 3. To sum up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life, to love, and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Guile is speaking hurtful, harmful words. Okay. And so you were called for this purpose to give a blessing. Why? Because we're going to see as we get through here, there's this empirical law of reciprocity called sowing and reaping. And when you give a blessing, he said, it comes right around, Byron, and kicks you right back in the butt with either a good blessing or a not such a good blessing, depending on what you sent out there. What do you say? I was made for this purpose. That's it. I was made for this purpose. To give a blessing. And as I give blessings, blessings will come back to me. That wasn't so hard. God wants us to follow his way of being generous because he wants us to be blessed, prosperous, and happy. Let's read this next proverb. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. Do you remember when we first started this series, I spent a lot of time talking about how counterintuitive God's ways are to man's ways. Remember I talked about that? And remember how I said, you know, man is just, he's superficial, he's one-dimensional, he looks at things and he thinks there's just a direct one-to-one correlation. But God knows all the background, he knows all the history, he knows all the consequences, he knows beginning from the end, he knows how everything's going to tie together and work together, and that's why it's a whole lot more complicated than just being simple and naive. Remember how I talked about that? And so, you know, if you're single-dimensional, you think, no, if I give something away, I've got less. Right? No, the Bible says if you give something away, it's going to come back to you multiplied. See you more. Well, tilt. That doesn't work. No, that's not right. No, if you give something away, you have less. No, God says you have more. God's ways are not man's ways. Man's ways lead to death. If I give something away, then I won't have enough, so I'm going to keep it myself. And it gets stagnant and rotten and blah, blah, blah. All right, let's read on. He who is generous will be blessed. For he gives some of his food to the poor. Right? Again and again, we see the Proverbs tell us over and over again that the generous, you hear me say this all the time in different words. How do I say it? Whatever you give to God, you will never have less because of it. Can I say that over and over again? Whatever you give to God, you'll never have less because of it. In fact, you'll have more than if you'd kept the whole thing for yourself. The reason I say that, I'm just rephrasing the Proverbs. You understand that, don't you? I'm just rephrasing the Proverbs. Whatever you give to God, you'll never have less because of it. You'll always have more. All right. So God's way is to be productive and share generously with others. We're talking about God's way here, right? God's way is to be productive and to share generously with others. Now, how do I know that? Again, the Proverbs. Proverbs 21:26. Here's one of our favorite ones. You ready? All day long the sluggard is craving, while the righteous gives and does not hold back. How many of you, when you read the Proverbs and you read about the sluggard, or the lazy person, I mean, what do you think when you read that? Like, well, that's cruel. You think that? You don't think that? Sometimes I read it and I'm like, you know, man, this is rough, you know. The lazy man is like a door on its hinges. He rolls back and forth in bed. It says, and because this is poverty will come upon him like a, you know, like a thief in the night, right? And you know, I could go on and on about these Proverbs. I talk about the lazy person. You know, they're not really highly regarded in the Proverbs, and this proverb is saying that, you know, the sluggard is some, I mean, they crave. Crave means I want stuff. I want what everybody else has. I want the car they're driving. I want the house they're living in. I want, you know, I want that. I want this. I want the clothes. I want everything. I want that neat hat. I want that cool. Oh, look at that coat. Oh, I got to have that. I want all this stuff, right? But they don't do anything to be productive to get it. Right? That God says that's a sluggard. Want, but not productive. Right? But the righteous, we talked a lot about the righteous, right? Doing things God's way, right? That's what righteous means. That I want my way to be God's way. The righteous gives and does not hold back. While the righteous gives and does not hold back. Why would the righteous give and not hold back? You know, I already told you already. Why would the righteous give and not hold back? Because it comes right back, right? You know, you give it away and it kicks you right back in the butt. Whoa! That's how it works. That's why the righteous give and they don't hold back, because they know God. They know his ways. The sluggard doesn't know God's ways. He doesn't know how that God is a creator, that God is always creating, and he's looking at how he can do stuff and work in people's lives and make things better. He's always doing that. So why wouldn't we be generous besides being lazy and selfish? Are you enjoying this as much as I am? The first reason would be because we don't know God and his ways. We just don't know. You know, if you don't know who God is, you don't know his ways, you know, then you're one of these people who does not think of God as a loving, generous being, but you look at him as a mean tyrant. If you even believe in him at all, you think that all the bad stuff in your life has come because of him, and he allows all the pain, all the suffering, all the disease, all the dying children. He's the one who causes all this stuff because you don't know him. You don't know his ways. You don't know the Bible. That's all Satan's misinformation tactic that he's fed into the world, and they've swallowed it like the poison Kool-Aid. God himself is a very loving, generous person. So if you don't know him, then you wouldn't realize that his character is in me, and I can be like him, and the way that he is generous, and I can be the same way. Next thing, we don't understand, believe in, use God's law of reciprocity, that is the law of sowing and reaping. We're gonna get into that a little bit further as we go through here, but it is so critical that you know, I mean, over and over again, the scriptures, Old and New Testament, talk about this law of sowing and reaping. And it's an empirical law. And when you think about what I mean by empirical, I mean it is foundational, just like gravity. It's one of those things that is not changeable. It is created from the beginning of time, and it's how things work. And all wealth in the world has come because of God created the earth, and he created the ground, and from the ground seeds can be planted, and a seed planet produces how many? 30, 60, 100 fold, right? It multiplies. And if you go back thousands of years, that's, you know, that everything stems up from that. Why are the cities where they are? The cities are where they are because that's where water went, that's where the fertile ground was, and that's where the crops grew, and that's where the wealth was. It's foundational, the law of sowing and reaping. But it's not just about agriculture. It is the way of God. It's the way of life, that what we sow, we also reap. The third reason we would not be generous is that we hoard as much as we can because we're afraid of not having enough for ourselves. And that kind of goes back to 1 and 2, doesn't it? What do we call number 3? What's the word for that? It's five-letter word. Yep, we play hangman with it. G-R-E-E-D, right? Yeah, greed. Afraid of not having enough for ourselves, and so we got to keep all that we can. And then, of course, number 4, we don't know how to plan/budget to give. Emotional giving equals junk mail TV ads. Oh, man, this time of year, the commercials come on there with all the dogs with the big sad eyes. Right? And the cats? Am I right? I mean, come on. And you're sitting there watching your Christmas movie, right? It's a Wonderful Life, and you're already crying because, you know, Jimmy Stewart's going to jump off a bridge, and now this sad dog comes on. You know, we need $500 to keep this dog alive. And you're like, oh, I got to do it. I got God's nature. Of course I'm going to give it. Right? The fact of the matter is that almost by definition we equate being generous with spontaneous emotional giving, and yet that is exactly not what the Bible means when it says to be generous. Let's read together 2 Corinthians 9:5. This is Paul talking to the Corinthian church, because Paul was in a town called Macedonia, and the people there were extremely poor. They were actually dying of starvation. They'd had a terrible drought, and people were dying of starvation. And so the Corinthian Christians had sent a messenger to Paul. Paul, we're putting together an offering, and we're going to bring some money, and we're going to bring some stuff there to help you guys out, right? So Paul has sent a messenger back to them, and this is what he said to them. A whole lot of other stuff. Well, let's read this. Arrange beforehand your previously promised bountiful gift so that the same would be ready as a bountiful gift and not affected by covetousness. Okay? Arrange beforehand. Right? We're going to see in the same passage that we give as we have purposed in our heart. right? And so, what I'm throwing out there, which is probably something you maybe haven't thought of before, is that from God's point of view, generosity is supposed to be planned into our life, budgeted into our. All a budget is a spending plan. Right? How many of you had financial peace? Right. A budget, you know, a budget is a spending plan. Every dollar you have, you give it a job to do, right? And so you have a plan. And this amount of money is what I'm going to give because I have purposed in my heart that this is what I'm going to give. So how much is generous? I'm glad you asked that question because the Bible answers it. Believe it or not, the Bible answers how much is generous. And I'm going to say that the Bible says that it's 10% plus offerings. Let's read together Malachi 3. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. Funny thing about generosity is, I never talked to anybody who did not consider themselves generous, right? I mean, Scrooge thought he was generous. I mean, look at what he had to go through to be convinced otherwise. Right? You had to be carried away by ghosts and stuff. No, I'm generous. Oh, no, you're not. The law of reciprocity, sowing and reaping, can be tested like any empirical truth, right? You don't believe in the law of gravity? Up to the top of the building and jump off. We'll see if it works or not. Right? See, well, that's cruel, Rick. Well, I'm just saying that you know, empirical laws can be tested. And that's why God says, test me in this. Test me and see if this is true. If the law of sowing and reaping really does work or if it doesn't work. Let's read together. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows, then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. So being called blessed by other people, right? Being recognized as someone who actually is blessed, that's an amazing thing. Now, here's the thing about Malachi's talking to the Jewish people. It's the last prophet that got anything from God for over 400 years, and the next prophet that came along was who? John the Baptist. Exactly right. Began, and that entered into the era of the New Testament. So Malachi is talking to them, and the whole nation was cursed, and he says that the reason is because your attitude about giving is all wrong. Let's read together. Your words have been arrogant against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? And you have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his charge to tithe and give offerings, and that we have walked in mourning before the Lord of hosts? Now wait a minute, what are they saying here? They're saying, hey God, the law of sowing and reaping doesn't work. It's not working for me, buddy. That's what they're saying, right? It's vain to serve you. It's vain to serve, you know, it's vain. And here's where I say that their attitude was so wrong, because they consider giving tithe and offerings as mourning. It's like, you know, ushers, come on up. We're going to give it. Everybody's crying. I don't want to give it. Okay. Well, you got to take my money anyway. They look at giving with a sad heart. They're mourning over this. You want to pay bills? Yeah. God, how can you take my money that I'm going to pay bills with? Right? Well, that's why I'm saying that, you know, we budget it. We plan it. We
you know, when you have the money and you put it all out there and you say, this is all my bills and this is what I income, my income, this is my outcome, and 10% of my income is this, and I add that to my bills, and whoop, it goes up to the top, and I pay that first, and everything below, that's up to God to pay. And if he doesn't, then I can shake my fist and say, God, that law of sowing and reaping, it doesn't work. You're full of baloney. If you don't do that, then guess what? You're not testing him. You're still going the way of the world and following the herd and being afraid you're not going to have enough. Oh me, oh my. All right. Okay. Walking in mourning. Here's the thing. That, you know, you can give 10%, you can give 20%, you can give it all. And guess what? If you're mad about it and sad about it, it's not enough. Because God doesn't want it. What's he want? He wants a cheerful heart. He wants somebody who grasps it. Like Nancy likes to say, oh, I get it. Right? He wants somebody who gets it, who understands. He has no limit of who he is and what he can do and what he can give us. There is no limit. If you put a ceiling on him, well, then you put a ceiling on him. You made him do the limbo. Here, well, see, God, if you can get through here, right? I teach in my seminar, in my financial seminars, you know, you write down what your bills are, you put your tithe on it from your income, put it up to the top, you add it all up, you add 10, 15% more for savings and retirement, and then you say, hey, God, here's my budget. Get your spouse, honey, let's pray. God, this is what we need. You provide it. We thank you for it. We'll do all that we can, but God, it's up to you to do it. And you know what? It works. Okay, God wants a cheerful heart of generosity that flows from the knowledge of him and his ways, faith, love, and budgets plan to give. Let's read together from 2 Corinthians 9. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Now wait a minute, what law is that? The law of reciprocity. Who said that? Somebody got the big word. All right, Kathy. Everybody say, all right, Kathy. Everybody say reciprocity. Isn't that a big word? No, that's a cool word, though. It's a really nice word. It reciprocates, right? Sowing and reaping, right? Paul says, gather aloud, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. No, man. So what we just read, what constitutes sowing bountifully? Huh? Come on. 10%. It's not difficult. It's not hard. I mean, it might be hard, but not, I mean, in terms of not being easy, but it's not complicated. Right. Let's read on. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You see those? See that word? Everybody say it. Purposed in his heart. Purpose is what? It means you spent some time thinking about something, didn't you? This is not an emotional response. This is not, you know, somebody standing up here or anywhere pleading, oh, please give more money. We're going to close the church if you don't give more. No. You know, it's what you purpose in your heart. When you're, and I like to say this a lot about not money, about everything, you need to spend time alone with God when you're having a sane moment, and that's where you make your decisions. Not in the heat of the battle, not in the heat of the situation. When you're alone with God, reading your Bible, got your journal out, and you're writing stuff down, and you're purposing in your heart, and you're making, those are good, sane decisions made in the presence of God, of faith, not in the context of everybody else's input and situations and responding and reacting to situations. It's you taking the initiative to act instead of to react. You understand see the difference? Act, don't react. Act, don't react. Purpose in your heart. Okay. Let's read what Jesus said about it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! What, Jesus said that? I thought he was kind and loving.
So, truth can be kind and loving?
Absolutely.
What's he say that's for? For you tithe mint and dill and cumin. I should have brought some dill seeds. Anybody here grow dill? I grow dill. You grow dill? How big would you say a dill seed is? Can barely see it. So it's less than a 16th of an inch. 32nd maybe? Huh? Smaller than a mustard seed. Now they're tithing dill seeds. I mean, they're counting. I mean, when I harvest dill, I peel them off and I off into a big bucket. And, you know, you get a bucket full of dill seed, you know. But can you imagine taking them out and counting them? Okay, I got 101, 102 dill seeds here. Okay, God gets 10. Is it 10 or is it 11? I have 102. I'm not sure. Should I give them the extra dill seed or not? You see how crazy this is? You know, they're legalists about getting down to the dill seed, but yet when it comes to love and compassion, justice, they don't have a clue. So that's what I mean when I say, hey, tithing isn't enough. God's looking at the heart. But when the heart's right and full of love, guess what you do? What do? You give. You give, absolutely. And then he says, you've neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness, but these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. See, people always say, well, Jesus never really talked much about tithing. Well, yeah, he did, actually. He told them they shouldn't neglect doing that, but they should also focus on justice, mercy, and faithfulness. So God stands behind his empirical truth of sowing and reaping. Let's read on from 2 Corinthians 9. Get ready for some superlatives here. Paul's talking about reciprocity, the law of reciprocity. Get ready for some very positive words coming here at you. You ready? Can you handle it? Are you ready for this? Okay, here it comes. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. That's a whole lot of superlatives, isn't it? That's a whole lot of positive stuff right there that has to do with the law of reciprocity and God standing behind it saying, this is my way, this is the way that I do things. And you can count on it, and you can bank on it. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Let's read on. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Let's just stop there a minute. Now, who supplies the seed? Remember we started out saying everything that you have came from who? I mean, I imagine you probably work pretty hard. Most of you probably go to work and, right? So how do you feel when the Bible says, yeah, you work hard, but guess what? Everything you have has come from God. Wait a minute, is it God or my work? Well, I don't understand. Everything we have. All right. So if God gives you the seed, and then if he gives you the seed, what do you have to do with that seed in order to have a bountiful harvest back? What do you have to do with it? You got to plant it, right? I mean, what am I going to plant it in? Well, God even gave us the dirt, right? Okay. Let's read on. You will be enriched. Oh, here's some more superlatives. You ready? This is I don't know. Can you guys handle all this positivity? Okay, here it comes. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So, okay, the basis for all generosity is the fact that we understand who God is, what his ways are. All that we have has come from him. There's no lack in him. He'll never run out. And that if we just sow the seed that he's given to us, it'll come back to us multiplied, and we'll reap many times over what we've sown. And not only that, once we harvest, guess what? It just keeps going. It's not like you get one chance at this, right? All right, you got your seed. That's all you get for a lifetime. No! You plant that seed, you get a harvest. He gives you some more seed, you plant that. So why generosity is God's way and generosity should be our way of being? It takes faith. It requires us to work and not be lazy. That is, use God's gift of time wisely. We all got the same amount of time, right? It takes patience. See, all these are virtues of God. These are the fruit of the Spirit. If you didn't take notice, you know, faith and patience. It takes eyes to see what God is doing and how he works. We talked a lot about before, you know, the lust of the eyes and how God's answer to lust of the eyes is get our eyes off of the stuff the world's putting in front of us and get it on the things that God is doing in the world and that we can get involved with. And as I said, spend time with him in his word and read the Proverbs and write in your journal and get an idea of what the vision is that you want for your life, the desires of your heart, and write them down so that you have a vision that you can run with. And that's what I'm talking about, having eyes to see what God is doing. What's God doing for you? What does God want to do with your life? What do you want 5 years from now? What do you want God to do in your life 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 25 years from now, 50 years? What do you want God to do? That's what I mean when I say it takes eyes to see what God is doing. Say, God, show me. What is it you want me to do? And you know something? You're not going to hear those things talking to the crowd or watching TV. I don't even know if you're even going to get it driving in your car listening to Christian music. I believe you need to get along with God so you can hear his voice with your journal in front of you and write it down, because if you don't write it down, before you know it, you're going to forget it. And it takes love and selflessness. That is God's character. All right. Here's the thing. People, we started out saying people love a generous person, didn't I? Didn't we start out with that? That's how Paul finishes up. People love your generous ways. You're stingy. It might not be your breath that people are avoiding you. Okay? That should have been funny, but it wasn't. All right. Steve laughed. Steve gets my weird humor, right? People are avoiding it. Might not be your deodorant, right? Okay. All right. But Paul says it actually results in their praying for you, God's blessing on you. Let's read this. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing greatness of God in you. This is a pretty amazing verse here, you know. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of it, but as a church, we give away thousands of dollars every month. Our benevolence ministry gives away so much money. And we've been told by a lot of churches in the area, when they get a call from somebody that's in need, what do they say? You better call Blue Mountain Community Church, because they do that. They help people in need. What a great reputation. But to have that reputation, not only as a church, but when we say it as a church, it's you guys. You're the generous people. And guess what? This Paul says that when people get blessed by us, I don't know how many times I get emails, I get phone calls, I get people meeting me at Walmart and wherever I go, and saying, oh, you guys helped us out. You know, I think of you guys, and I pray for you. Wow, cool, thank you. No wonder I'm doing so good. But that's what Paul's saying.
a generous person, people will pray for. People recognize your generosity and they pray for you. That's the way it works.
So here we go. Do you know the loving, generous God? Do you know him that way? You know, we could spend hours of psychoanalysis trying to figure out how you got the image of God in your head that you did. You know, who knows? You know, abandoned as a child, father walked out. Who knows? People have all these stories of why they think God is this terrible being. But the Bible wants us to know he is a loving, generous father. And every good thing in your life is because he gave it to you. And because he's reaching out to you saying, I want to know you as my child. I want you to love me the way that I love you. I want you to know me the way I really am. I don't want you to continue to live in this fog about who I am. I want you to know I love you more than you can even begin to imagine. And then, of course, the question is, are you ready to be generous as he is generous? If you know him that way, then you want to be that way. If we could just bow our heads for a moment here, I wonder, is there someone here tonight who would say, Rick, I have never known about that loving, generous father. But I want to. I want to invite him into my heart tonight. I want to give him my life. I want to begin to trust in him as the good God that you say that he is. Except the desire of your heart, let our eyes meet. I just want to agree to go with you that tonight I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to nod and eyes meet. That you're looking at me for that reason. Okay, I see you looking at me. Who else tonight wants to make that decision? I'm opening my heart up tonight to the loving, generous God. Now I'm wondering, who here tonight is going to say, Rick, I'm ready to let go of all of the fear that I have about money. I want to be generous as he's generous. Who else tonight must look up at me and say, yep, that's me. Okay, I see you. I see you. Anybody else tonight? Wants to make that decision? Okay, I see you. Would you please all pray this prayer with me together and out loud? Lord Jesus Christ, you came so I could know who God really is. And I believe that you really are a loving, generous God. And you love me so much that you even gave me your son. And your word tells me that if you gave me your son, how would you not also with him freely give us all things? That was a mouthful. And so, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I'm going to spend my life learning your ways. I really want to get to know you. And I know because of that, my life is going to be so much better. I want to be generous the way you're generous. I want to have faith in God, Jesus, the way you had faith in God.
that there is no lack in him, and his abundance is mine. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I love you because you first loved me, and you gave your life as payment for my sins.